Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there, happy Friday to you, and it's happy for me because we've got Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Sherry Keffer in the studio. Hi, guys.
Hey, it's great to be with you both. I'm honored to be with these two amazing men. I'm over here pinching myself, really.
Yeah.
And John's like caught up on the mic with his...
You know, guys, life is complicated. Things get just wrapped around you and these struggles we have.
True. Yeah, it's not easy. But we get through it. And thanks to both of you who've written great books, we can get through it a little better with purpose and make the pain count. That's what we want to all be doing. By the way, I have put together a tip sheet that combines some things from Dr. Keffer and some things from Dr. Townsend. 10 tips for more effective parenting. And I'll give you two. 8 is require your grown kids to pay their own way.
Okay, wait a minute. That should really be important. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's great.
Yeah. Well, number 2 is important. Teach your child to fail well. Yeah. Brilliant. It says there will be times when your child fails. Let them know it's okay to fail. Failing offers great opportunity for learning and growth. So rather than shame them over failure, let's make it count for them. Anyway, that's for if you call 1-800-NEW-LIFE, I'll send that to you. There are 8 other things that are on here, and they're all good. 10 tips for more effective parenting.
You know, one of the books I love that you have done, John, is Entitlement Cure. I can't tell you how many parents I've handed a copy of that to in this day and age when they're stuck trying to figure out what to do with the entitlement, you need to pay for me, you need to, and that book is so clear and it's so inspiring to put the locus of control back into the parents' hands. Yeah. And you've done that with your own boys. That's what's mind-blowing is you don't, you practice what you preach, you write, and you've lived it out with your boys who are doing well instead of riding on your laurels.
You know? I watched them do that.
I know.
It was pretty amazing. Yeah. They are great, great young men. Now, if you want to join us and you're watching on YouTube, 1-800-229-3000 is always the number. I want to tell you, you've heard us mention this cruise that we're taking, and some people signed up and then they canceled because all of a sudden they had this vaccination requirement. Mm. Well, they've removed it. And so if go online, it's the October 6th through the 13th. Go to newlife.com. Mylon and I are going to be teaching on this. And one of the really great things about our trips, people say, well, we enjoyed all the things we saw. And all of the side trips and stuff, they're all included in the price. That I love that. But they say the content. And we're crafting special content just for this river cruise. I think you'll love it. Anyway, you call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com. It's the Rhine River Cruise. We love our New Life trips. We really get to connect with you. We get to know you.
Can I say something about another advantage of the trip of the cruises, having been on many of them, Steve?
Sure.
You're around people who understand the language of process, the language of emotions, the language of where is God in the pain, and so many people don't understand it, but you will find people that can talk about those things with you over lunch or whatever. It's amazing, the connection.
Yeah. And you know, it's so weird. We've made friends. Kyle and I, we've gone on these cruises and trips. We have friends that we've made on those trips that we still see on a regular basis. And that's like a bonus. You don't think about that that's going to happen when you go on a cruise.
Well,
because there's some just exceptional people, amazing people, and worthy of just good friendships.
Exceptional and accepting.
Yeah. Well, oh, I like that.
The cruise people say, hey, we're going to announce that you guys have your own time and want privacy. And we say, no, don't announce that. We are available. We want to connect with people. We'll be back right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here. I want to mention one other thing before we go to calls, and that is Lumina. It's a one-day event, either November 3rd or 4th. It's a conference. I think it might be life-changing for you. We've got Lauren Green McAfee. We've got Jen Wilkin, Nicole C. Mullen. I'm telling you, these people, best-selling authors, you know, Nicole, she has won Artist of the Year, Best Song of the Year, Redeemer. Oh, my goodness. She was literally the most popular person at Women of Faith. And if you want to get a girlfriend or get your women's group together, November 3rd or 4th, you can find out all about that.
I got some friends who need to go. Where is this again?
It's at NDC at the Museum of the Bible, November 3rd or November the 4th. Same thing happens. Of course, we use the museum and all that. But in the auditorium there, which is got the most incredible sound system and
it's
light system.
It's phenomenal.
It's going to be an amazing time. 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com
and let me
to find
just
out.
Give you a little shout out, Steve. You're featured in the museum, which is your Bible. One of your Bibles is.
It's one of the greatest
really
honors.
Amazing that of all the people and all the Bibles that have been written all over
the Bibles,
time.
Yeah.
So just want to give you a little shout out. It's awesome.
I'll tell you how awesome it is. One of the people that were on the board there at the Museum of the Bible, I went to one of the banquets, and I said, you know, I have a Bible here. He said, what? So anyway, the Life Recovery Bible, it's approaching 4 million Bibles out there. And
it's amazing.
Prison Fellowship, I mean, they do about 100,000 every year of this Bible. It's just a blessing. Salvation Army, it's a pew Bible. If you don't have it and you're in any kind of recovery program, call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We will get it to you. All right. We're going to go and talk first with, I believe it's Deneen. Is that right? Is that how you say it?
Yes.
Okay. Perfect. I usually mess that up. And Charlotte, North Carolina, you listen on Sirius XM, channel 131 at 1 p.m. Eastern. How could we help today? Glad you called.
Thank you. We lost our grandson in April.
Sorry.
We've had some issues. I appreciate that. We've had some issues with the parents around that time, around the time of his service during that week. And we have reached out and not heard back and just feeling sort of at a loss as how to move forward.
That's horrible.
Such a big deal to lose a little one. I mean, it's one of those losses that some couples never actually get through. So I imagine there's been a huge impact. What happened around the time of his services?
Well, we went to spend, you know, quite a few days there with them, and we also have a granddaughter. She's older. He was 6. She's 10. And when we arrived, we spent like all day, one day, and then this is my stepson, took his dad out for a while and invited him to a big ball game and told him that there was a ticket, there was 2 tickets that they were given besides the 3 of them, and one, she wanted her mom to go and he wanted his dad to go. And my husband is also suffering some medical issues that he didn't really feel well at the time, plus just the sadness of the time. And he actually told him that he would rather that I could have gone with him. I heard about it later because he told his son he would get back to him the next day. And he asked me, and I told him that was a decision he would have to make because I wasn't invited, so he has to decide whether to go or not. And really, I didn't mind. I told him it's fine. I'm sure I can find things to do. And and if he asked you, you should really consider going since he asked you. And in the end, he chose not to go. He tells me that he felt it wasn't right that I would be not included. And I said, well, please make it clear to them that I didn't make this decision, that I left it up to you, which we did. But they were then very upset, and the mom did not speak to us the rest of the time that we were there during anything, not
one word. So this is your son that, is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, so what is your question for us in one of these horrible situations?
Yeah, so we've apologized, and my stepson is speaking with his father now, but my daughter-in-law will not speak with us. I have written her a message that I apologize for whatever it is that we've done, and we've obviously offended them.
Mm-hmm.
He told his dad that they still think that I influenced him not to go to this game, and that they were also upset that we didn't ride in this big limo, which I have a message on my phone explaining that we just felt because they were so upset with us that and that was the day of the service that they probably didn't need us to be right there. You know, they were that upset with us.
Okay. So how can we help you?
I don't know what to do. Yeah, I wrote this letter and I've not heard a thing. And we just don't know what else we can do.
Okay. All right. So how about we start with you, Sherry, and then we'll go to John. What are you thinking?
Oh, Deneen, I've been in your position, not the same position, but a similar position. So let me just tell on myself for a second. And hear this in the intent that I'm bringing it, because it's going to sound kind of strong, but I don't know, and it just keeps coming to my head, so I'm going to say what I'm thinking. I've had situations where I've gotten butt hurt, where I've gotten hurt because of something that has happened. And in doing that, I've taken up a personal offense, and I have focused in on that, on my hurt, my pain, instead of on the bigger picture. And when you do that, when I do that, it ends up creating a distance between myself and those that I'm going to be doing life with for a long time. I grew up in a family that this has happened to. When I was going to get married the first time, I went through some tests that they give you, premarital tests, and my family system is called chaotically disengaged. Mm. So growing up in a lot of chaos, and how we cope with that is by disengaging, by not connecting, by making it a bigger deal. And then thereby, the secondary steps, like not going in the limo, is a consequence of being butthurt. So I have had to really learn how to be more vulnerable and to begin to take responsibility for what I did that was hurtful, instead of trying to defend my position, which just digs the hole deeper. So if you'll listen, because this is something I've done before. When one of us goes to apologize, a lot of times when we haven't really reflected on our own hurt and pain, what we do is we end up coming to the other person saying, well, I apologize for whatever I did. You know what I call that? I call that a cheap sorry. It doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't sink in because I haven't owned what my part was. And I know what you're saying. You made it up. You know, you said to your husband, you decide. But it just unraveled in a negative way. And the only way through it is to really take ownership and say something like this. I'm so sorry. I'm so deeply sorry that I, by my actions, to not be in the limo, and then the day before, you know, whether who was going to go to the game, I am sorry that that put more chaos into the service, into the loss of your son, my grandson, and it just created some complicating factors that didn't need to be there. I'm heartbroken that I added more to your already painful day. Now, have I said anything that doesn't feel true? You're going to have to make it yours. But do you know what I'm saying? I'm not just saying I don't know what I did. I'm saying, what did I do? I didn't go in the limo. That was hurtful. And people are more open to hearing honest confessions than cheap sorries.
Yeah. John, your comments here be really important. So good, Jerry. Thank you.
It was really good. I have a little system. You might want to listen to this on the recording, because this is a recording, because it's got several steps to it. But I use this a lot when irreconciliation comes, when somebody just cancels you. And what do you do now? Because it's so helpless.
Yeah.
So here it goes. You contact her any way you can. I don't mean she contacts you back, but, you know, you write her, or you text her, or you send a letter, or you whatever, voicemail. And you said the following: I really miss you and us, and I want to rectify everything I've done. I know you don't want to talk to me, and I get it. But I would request that you talk to me, Zoom, in person, whatever you want to do, and I will meet with you, and I will not say one word that disagrees with you. I want you to tell me everything I've done to hurt you. And I'm going to bring a legal pad, like this guy, and a pencil. And I might be saying something like, what do you mean by that? But I'm just going to take notes without saying, oh, you overreacted, you misunderstood. None of that. I won't do that, Susie. And I want to, maybe it takes 10 minutes or 2 hours, but that's what I'll do. And then I will take that home and change everything I need to change on there, because I want to be related to you. And if you would give me a second meeting where I go to you and I say, look, here's the thing that you told me that I thought about and I did some work on, and here's what I've changed. I have found when people will do that, the person goes, oh, you don't want to defend yourself. You don't want to say I was the wrong guy. You really want to know how bad you hurt me. It's got a pretty good track record of you getting a little phone call or text saying, maybe I'll meet you next week. That's the system. Good luck.
I like it a lot.
Thank you very much.
Here's the thing. We are all raised to think about me, to think about what I look like, defending me. It's just in us. And I tell you, when you shift all that, somebody says, you know, I don't want to do this. Oh, wow. Did I hurt you? Oh, that must be so painful. When I'm talking about them versus, well, this was the, or whatever, it's just a different perspective that's pretty rare, and people respond to that, and that's what John is talking about. You're sitting down with a legal pad, not so you can write your defense. It's all about them. And
it's building a bridge.
I mean, really, only a very troubled person wouldn't respond positively to that. So I hope and pray something we said here has been good. I'm going to send you John's book, Who's Pushing Your Buttons? Because if you get some understanding on who's pushing your buttons, then it helps you not to push other people's buttons. So,
and the new title is Handling Difficult People, too.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. So it's under this new title, Handling Difficult People, not Mishandling Easy People. It's the difficult people we're trying to deal with.
Right,
we'll get that to you, and I'm so glad that you called. Let's go over here and talk with Michael, Colorado Springs, KGFT. Yeah. Hi there.
Yeah. Hi.
You hear the music, so let me just stop you for a second. Sorry, I went to you like 2 seconds before the music started. We'll go to break, and then we'll talk to you right after this, Michael. You're listening to New Life Live. So many things that we have that literally could transform your life. The word transformation, we were founded on that word, and redemptive relationship and true truth. We're not looking for people to just feel better. We want transformation through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we are so grateful whenever God uses us for His great, greater purpose. We'll be back right after this with more New Life Live.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back, all the way back, and we're talking with Michael, Colorado Springs. Listen to GFT, that radio station. Michael, welcome. Thanks for holding on there during the break. How could we help today?
Okay, let me explain this very simply.
Okay.
I was born an alcoholic. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
And I became a sugar addict, and that was all misdiagnosed by all the psychologists for over 30 years of my life until I discovered what the problem was.
Okay.
Now, the problem is, even after going through everything I can to overcome the sugar addiction, I still have a problem with the mental imbalances that were caused by the sugar addiction, and I'm trying to figure out what I can do to overcome the emotional imbalances that I still have. They make me antisocial. They make me anti-people. And I'm totally isolated with no one in my life at all.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay. Now, how old are you, Michael?
81.
Well, I love that because you're not just settling in for whatever life was. You're going for what life could be. Well, let's ask Dr. John Townsend how what he would see in your life that might get you to where you want to be. What are you thinking, John?
Michael, there's a word you used, and maybe the radio fidelity isn't clear between us, but you used a word started with a C. You said that I was born an alcoholic and I got diagnosed wrongly, and I have, it sounded like you're saying circadian, but it's not circadian. Do you remember the word you used? Okay, if you can't, that's okay. All right. Then anytime somebody, by the way, that's just an awful thing. I'm sorry about that. But anytime somebody gets a wrong diagnosis, they've got to do one thing, and that's get the right diagnosis. So my first thing would be find somebody. Where are you? We're in Colorado Springs. Lots of good people there, lots of good clinicians there,
mm-hmm.
And say it was a mess and it was awful and kind of tanked my life, and I want to get the right diagnosis. Because the right diagnosis will mean then they'll give you the right treatment. That's kind of where I would go, Michael.
So, go ahead, Michael. Yeah?
One of the major difficulties here is that the so-called psychologists do not recognize or understand what dyslexia is. And so every time I go and talk to them, they say I'm crazy because I have an extremely difficult problem in seeing things.
You mean visually seeing things?
Or understanding or seeing?
Yeah,
visually. Okay.
You know what's interesting? There's a number of people, Michael, that have some of the symptoms you're talking about that have something called Erlen syndrome, mm-hmm. or scotopic sensitivity. It's a real thing. It's a brain thing that actually can be helped with filtered glasses. Like Dr. Amen, I learned about this when I worked with Dr. Daniel Amen, and he does the brain spec scans. And yeah. I saw scans that he took of somebody's brain that was struggling with dyslexia, very overactive, anxious, just a lot going on. And then he put the glasses on. He had them put the glasses on that had, they'd gone through the treatment, and their brain quieted down. They could actually read better. They could see things better. It's like, and I've even had clients that this has happened to that have said, it's like my brain went from, oh, to, ooh, they could feel the quieting. And so it might be something that you check out. It often gets missed in the
What's the word and spell it for me?
Yeah, Erlen syndrome. So it's I R L E N. Second word I R L E N. Second. Yeah, L E N. Uh huh. And then syndrome S Y N D R O M E.
I N.
Yeah.
D O R E.
Drome, D-R-O-M-E.
Syndrome.
Yeah, oh. Syndrome.
And yeah. It's worth asking anybody that's helping you, could this be me? Could this be what's at the heart of this or the result of certain things that I've been through?
We tried one time many years ago to do the problem thing with the eyes. They gave me a pair of glasses that was supposed to balance me out, and it made me fall so many times I gave them up.
Yeah.
I could not.
Yeah, so hard. So frustrating.
Go ahead.
Dr. Amen.
Yeah. Another resource is Rick Tanzi's group, Sherry.
Sarasat. Yeah.
Yeah. Sarasat.
Sarasat.org, I think, or com. C-E-R-E-S-E-T.
I sent someone to him who had massive panic attacks. Went to Rick, never had one again. I mean, there's something about what he does.
There's something in the brain.
I've been through it myself, and it is a peace-producing process. You can ask about that and call us, and we'll tell you about Sarasat. Really a great, great resource. We're going to take a break. Come right back with more of New Life Live. I'm so glad that you are with us today. Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Sherry Kemp.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zippered Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Glad you're with us. Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Sherry Keffer, Steve Arterburn here. Intimacy and marriage. Well, the next one we're going to do is October 21st, and it's going to be right there in Dallas. You could join us. Every Man's Battle, August the 6th, is online. And then we've got Courageous Parenting, Emotional Freedom, Repurposed Life, and this great Ryan cruise we're doing in October. A lot of things we're doing to connect with you. Now, Denise wrote to us and said, this is what New Life has meant to her. I found myself in pieces 6 weeks ago. And if it wasn't for New Life Ministries, I would have been another suicide statistic.
Oh, wow.
Goodness.
Now, that's big.
Yeah. Praise God for letting us help her. And if you want to help us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Well, I'll tell you, I hope and pray that something we said to Michael is going to be helpful. And just don't give up. Get the right resource. Talk to these people that are helping you. And I'm going to send you a life recovery. Now, I'll send you a I'll send you a life recovery Bible. I think that'll be the right one. I think you'll enjoy that.
And also, and don't give up because some people weren't right. I mean, don't give up on the industry. Because you're saying so-called psychologists, and I get that. But the industry's got lots and lots of really good people. Keep going.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to Ryan, Colorado Springs. He listens on the podcast. Hello, Ryan. How are you?
Hi, I'm good.
So what is going on in your life? What's that?
Yeah, I have kind of a caretaking question.
Okay.
I wrote down a few questions. I guess I'm not clear on what my own heart is aching from, so if you don't mind, I'll read a few of what I wrote down.
Sure.
First thing, it's kind of more asking about a specific friend, but to give the overall picture, I wrote, I feel a longing to help homeless people get their lives turned around, but I'm finding that it's a lot less exciting, and I just want to abandon all those people, but I don't think that's biblical.
Hmm.
I have a friend who I say, who I see mostly as a ministry project, and I know that's not how I should see him. I have a higher standard of living than he does. He's not homeless, but he kind of looks like he is. So my dilemma is that I want to see God move, and I think it's godly to care for people less fortunate. And he says I'm his closest friend, so abandoning him is not, I don't think that's a good idea because he doesn't really have anyone else. So I just get annoyed that my heart is not totally in it. It would be much easier for myself to just give up. It's starting to rain really loud here. Let me know.
Okay, it's all right. We're hearing you. All right, so I just want to make a comment that when people get into AA or any kind of recovery group and they go along and they grow, they become a sponsor to somebody in a little less or worse situation related to whatever the problem is. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with seeing yourself as a sponsor to this guy, that he isn't your friend, but you are willing to sacrifice some comfort.
He's a different kind of friend.
Yeah, he's different. But you really are ministering to him. So I would just say, if there's any way not to end the relationship, it would be great if he saw you as a mentor, sponsor, something like that, in addition to his feelings of, well, you're my only friend. But what do you guys think?
Ryan,
are you thinking?
Would you mind if I got a little personal? I want to know a little bit more about you. I don't know if this is true, but I just am wondering if you grew up in a family where there was some chaos and maybe even one parent that wasn't available emotionally, maybe even physically, I don't know. And I guess I'm just wondering if you ended up feeling burdened to take care of one of them, maybe even your mom. I could be so far off base, but I truly believe that all behavior is purposeful. And so I'm listening to you with elephant ears, and I'm really trying to understand the replication, the dynamic of wanting to rescue, but then resenting it because it feels so burdensome.
Does any of that ring true to you?
Yeah, that's great. I read How We Love, and I'm a vacillator.
Okay.
And yeah, most of it was through my mom.
Okay.
Not necessarily having to take care of her. Me not being taken care of the way I wish I was.
Yeah, right. No, that's it. And what happens, I mean, bless your heart, vacillators often feel abandoned, either physically or emotionally, because you weren't cared for. And what happens in life if we haven't healed that wound, then something called a replication, it's like a cookie cutter of what we grow up with, ends up happening in our adult lives. And it's very confusing to us because we're like, hey, I want to take care of homeless people. Well, do homeless people have people caring for them or not? They don't, right?
Mostly not.
Yeah. And so that's your little guy inside. You've got a little wounded guy inside that really wanted to be loved, wanted to be cared for. And so by helping homeless people, it feels like you're solving your problem, but there's a double bind.
Yeah.
Because then you end up resenting the burden. Because I think, you know, it would be really interesting to unpack it with you to see how men are protectors and providers. And if there's some chaos going on in their family, oftentimes they feel responsible for their moms. And they feel burdened by that. So I just would encourage you to go deeper with someone like myself. We have a bunch of New Life counselors that can really help you unravel the mystery so that you can become more free in what you choose to do. And that's probably going to involve you being cared for in a really lovely, caring, intentional sort of, somebody gets me very deeply sort of way.
John, you have a comment here. I think that's so good, Sherry. You're so good at perceiving, sensing. John, any comment here?
Yeah, my comment is, what do you think about that, Ryan? I think there's a lot
Absolutely. I don't. Okay. Basically, finding a counselor, right?
Someone who's going to see you and get you, not minimize and not try to fix you. Not try to tell you, well, you just need to keep going. Someone's going to help you really unpack that tension inside that you feel. It's possible to heal from these dilemmas and to live life more freely.
All right. Well.
Yeah, I love that.
The other thing I was thinking was you know, just in line with what Sherry was saying, Ryan, was I was thinking about when Jesus said, freely you have received, go freely give. When we give and it feels like obligation, it's sucky, and we feel like we just have to do it, something's wrong because it's not free. And so you do the work that she's talking about and get your mom worked out in your head, and you realize that, okay, I don't have to take care of people. I got to grieve some stuff. I got to get some other people. And all of a sudden, you know what I found happen is then you want to give. And it might be homeless people. It might be sex trafficking. It might be working with CEOs. Who knows? But you will desire to give. So get it straight in your head, and you'll probably be a great giver.
Well, so glad you called. I've been doing this on these programs. I'm going to send you Every Man's Bible. I hope that that's going to be something that you dearly like. And to anybody else, these Bibles are transforming people's lives. You know, we're working on, Misty's one of the contributors to Every Woman's Bible. It comes out in 2023 in a few months. Our Bible project, the 1 year Bible for men, I did all the commentary. 1 year Bible for women, she did all the commentary.
Wow, very cool.
And so when I would send my stuff in, they would say, okay, let's try to make something readable out of this. When Misty would send her content in, they would say, well, this is a real problem for our editors because even the pentameter is right on your stuff. And it's so, they would say this, we don't think anybody's ever written what you just wrote on this passage. So they're going to be great. We'll let you know more about those. We are Bible people, I'll tell you. So 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need help, you need a resource, you need a Bible, we've got it right there. And, you know, intimate deception should be as best-selling as Every Man's Bible. Every Man's Battle. Because for every man that loses the battle for a while, there is a woman that's been deceived. And so, recommend, Sherry. It's a great book for healing and for hope. Another great book, Worthy of Her Trust. It's for a man. How do you become worthy of her trust after there's been betrayal? All sorts of things. Here's what we love: healing, transformation, people getting better. And to that end, if you want to be part of that, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Renee, we'll go to you right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. John Towns and Dr. Sherry Keffer. Really grateful for them being here. You know, the good news, it's always great to have good news. Romans 8:1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus."
Woo-hoo!
But it also says that God is rich in mercy. And yet a lot of people, you think you've blown it. You've gone too far, and you're missing out on that relationship so full of love that God wants to have with you. So get back into a church, a Bible study, get a Bible, read a great book that might give you some insight. Max Lucado just sent me his latest book on the 40 Bible characters, most intriguing, fascinating, and man, it's a great book. I was reading it just this morning. Anyway, get one of those. Get something.
Really quickly, I just heard Max Lucado talk, and he was talking about how, you know, things happen in our life, really bad things happen, and he shares a bunch of stories, on and on and on and on, about, you know, these things happen, which you always hear the phrase, you know, you have lemons, you make lemonade. But he said, there's lemons. We're all going to have these lemons. And at the very end of his talk, you guys will have to hear it, he, in his southern drawl, he says, but we don't have to suck on the lemons, you know?
And that's so good.
It's right. Like he built us up with all these
so
stories.
Max.
But isn't that Max? I thought,
yeah,
that's the whole point of the story. And Jesus would drop those like
that's
amazing
great
one-liners. But it's true. So many of us live our life just nursing that lemon and not really moving forward.
What a sour experience.
What a sour experience.
Yeah. One of the greatest experiences is Max went on a golf trip with New Life, and he's going on another one this year. And it's just so great to be with him. He is everything in person.
Mm. He's a real
relaxed
thing.
He is so great, and we love him. Now, Renee, we're going to love you when we talk to you. Buffalo, New York, Sirius XM. How could we help?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. So one of my good friends, we've now been friends for over 40 years.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
When when we were young, she married my brother.
Okay.
And they were married for many years. And a few years ago, he passed away.
Oh, sorry.
All right.
So throughout his illness, I took him to his appointments, and we had a lot of conversations.
Yeah.
He actually came to Christ through his illness and admitted to me that had he not gone through that, he would never have accepted Christ.
Goodness.
We had a lot of conversation. And in the last days, I promised him, along with other siblings, we promised him that we would stick with her and take care of her and, you know, just be there for her. And she is one of my closest friends, but throughout all of this, she has been extremely hurtful. She will not answer phone calls. She will not answer text messages and then call you days later and yell at you because you didn't call her or text her, and you did. She just didn't answer. If you don't call on a specific day that she thinks you should have called on, then she's mad at you. She will, and I didn't know this about her, and all the years we've been friends, she tells stories that are not true.
Okay, so what is the question for us then?
Really bad because I don't know how to get past the fact that I promised him.
Yeah. Well,
that
you
I
did
would take care of her, and I can't.
You promised him, but she's not allowing you to fulfill what you thought you needed to do. Maybe taking care of her right now is giving her some space to think, grieve, all that. And then perhaps or perhaps not, you'll be able to do what you promised him. But you promising him doesn't mean she's going to comply with what he would have and you want to do. John, what are you? Yeah, Sherry, go ahead.
I don't want to get in your road.
No, go
ahead.
Can
I just share a really quick story? Do you know what a feral cat is? A feral cat. Okay. Your sister-in-law, your friend of 40 years, is a feral cat right now. She's been traumatized and very much hurt in the death of your brother, her husband. I have a great friend of mine who went to Montana, stayed there for a while, and there was a mama feral cat and some baby feral cats. And she felt for them. She didn't want them to get eaten by whatever. So you know what she did? She basically opened the door of her house, and she put some food out at her front door. And the cats came up, and then they went away. Every day, she did that. Eventually, you know what happened? Those feral cats went inside her house. She left the door open. She didn't close the door. They came in, came out. After about a month, the feral cats, she moved the food in, the feral cats came in, and she closed the door. She's had these cats now for about 7 years.
Wow.
And they are loves. Your sister is a feral cat right now. She needs space for us not to take up offense or get hurt.
Yeah.
Because if you do, you're going to push her further away.
And you're wanting to say something, Renee?
Yeah. I mean, it's been 4 years, and when I give her space, then she'll call me and yell at me because I'm not in her face. She called me and said she's struggling financially. So I did a grocery store pickup in her name so she could go pick it up. And then I called her the next day and said, hey, I bought a chicken dinner. Would you like it? And she said, I'm too tired. I'll call you tomorrow. And then I never heard anything.
So what if she's...
But then she's mad at me.
She's
now
depressed.
Because
she's depressed.
Okay.
I don't know how to help her.
Okay.
Renee, you have an extreme limitation. You can't change her life. If you can step back and do your best and buy a grocery and her not appreciate it, chicken dinner and her not want it, if you can just step back from that, be detached from her reaction, maybe you're absolutely fulfilling what your brother wanted to the best of your ability. John, you've got to have some good insight on this. What do you think?
Renee, your brother was a good man, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. And I hear tremendous guilt because you're not, you know, following through with the promise you made your brother. Do you feel really guilty?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. I want you, since you've told us that he is a good man, to tell us, if he were here now, if he'd be angry at you because his widow is pushing away and you can't get through, or if he'd say to Renee, sister, you did the very best you could, what would your brother, were he alive, to tell you right now?
He would tell me I did what I could.
There you go.
There you go.
So listen to him. You got to take care of this guilt so this lady doesn't make you crazy while she's going through her process. But listen to what your brother would say, be at peace about that, and wait for her to come around.
All right, I'm going to send you a little book, Take Your Life Back, and hopefully it'll help you not let her take yours away. You know, Sherry, thank you for that story. I thought a feral cat was a cat that Will Ferrell owned. And so just to know, this is great clarification on your part. My life will never be the same. Dr. John Townsend, thanks for joining us. Let's say somebody has a hard time affording going to your institute. What are their options?
Well, first, we're in the lower third of price for private places. Secondly, we have financial help.
Oh, there you are. So they
just give them a call. Where can they call you?
How do they get in touch?
Townsend Institute. Just online. Townsend Institute. You'll get there. The SEO will work.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.